Some of them, when writing books or sections in their books about akhlaq and al-adab, about character and behavior, they will say, is the akhlaq of this one or the akhlaq of this or that one? Is the akhlaq of the faqir, the akhlaq of the muhaddith? Is there anything other than the adab and the akhlaq of the rest of the Muslims? Meaning that those people, that they have been ordered to have the akhlaq that the rest of the people have been ordered to have. And so, when we speak about this issue that I was given, or that I was requested to speak about, in the place of our brother Hassan Hafidhullah, I believe early, which is how to deal with women, or what is the treatment of women عند السلف, in the view of the Salaf, then we say that their treatment and the akhlaq that one is to have with the woman, that it is, in general, it is the akhlaq and the adab of the Muslims, how the Muslim, he should behave with other people, how he should behave towards his neighbors, and how he should behave with his co-workers, and how he should behave with the people in general, the type of akhlaq that he should have from himself to another person, and the etiquette that should be demonstrated from him to another person, is something that is not exclusive outside of the home. And this is because, wallahu al-musta'an, sometimes a person, he may treat those that are foreign to him or unknown to him, that he will treat them in a way that is better than he will treat those that are close to him. To the point that some of them, they used to say about such a person, that person is like an ostrich when he is with the enemy, but he is like a lion with us. وَلَا بِئْسَ الْخَصْلَتَيْنِ, and the most horrible two character traits that you could have is al-kibr and al-jubn, is to be arrogant and to be cowardly. And so what compels some people to behave in such a way with those that are not close to them, those that are unknown to them, it isn't fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather it is cowardice, that they behave in that way because of cowardice. But at the same time, those that they should show the best treatment to, that they show arrogance towards them. Wallahu al-musta'an. And so the akhlaq that should be demonstrated and utilized, and the adab and the etiquette that should be shown towards the closest person to a human being in proximity who is his wife, then it should be upon a level of Islamic akhlaq and Islamic adab, upon a mustawa that is rafi' jiddan, that is very, very high. He should treat his wife, and I should treat my wife, and you should treat your wife in a way that makes her realize that she is the most beloved of people to you after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is the most beloved of people to you that you come across. As the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, as he says in his book Al-Riyadu al-Nadira, that the person with husnul khuluq yuhibbuhu a'da'uhu, that the person who has good character, then he is loved by his enemies. And the person with su'ul khuluq, with bad character, yafirru minhu awladuhu, his children run away from him. His wife, she runs away from him. Those that are the closest of people to that person are afraid of them and don't trust him. And so, today we want to mention some guidelines that in general pertain to how a Muslim should deal with others, and how these guidelines apply to how a Muslim should deal with his wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in his book, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and deal with them in a way that is ma'roof, and deal with them in a way that is good. And he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ, about the one who wants to divorce his wife, when he takes her back, that the person that he holds on to his wife in a state of ma'roof. And the scholars of tafsir, the mufassirun, they say, A bi husn al ushra, that he maintains a good relationship with her, that he takes her back so that he could treat her good. Wala bi qasd al dhur, or la bi qasd al idrar, that he doesn't take her back with the intention to, that he's taken her back for the intention to harm her, intiqaman. He takes her back to get revenge. It wasn't good enough, that fight that led to the divorce. You felt like she got over on you, and so you take her back to get even some more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordered that you take her back, bi ma'roof, in a way that is good, so that you could deal with her and have a good relationship with her. Or you release her bi ihsan, in a way that is good. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فِيمَا رَوَاهُ الشَّيْخَانِ رَحِيمُهُمْ Allah, as was reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah have mercy upon them, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, in the authority of Abi Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَسْتَوْسُ بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا, he said, I advise you with good as regards a woman, meaning that you deal with a woman in a way that entails rifq, as Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani mentioned in Fathul Bari, that you deal with her in a way that entails gentleness and kindness. I advise you with good as regards a woman. فَإِنَّهُنَّ خُلِقْنَا مِنْ ضِلَعٍ, because the woman, they were created from a rib. وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ مَا فِي ضِلَعٍ أَعْلَاهَا, and the most crooked part of the rib is the highest part. فَاسْتَوْسُ بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا, so I advise you with goodness as regards a woman. So he began the statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with that advice. And he gave the reason in the middle of the statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the end of the statement, he closed the statement with the same advice. As he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he said, بُعِثُ بِجَوَامِعِ الْكَلِمِ, that I have been sent with the conciseness of speech, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I have been sent in one wording with the conciseness of speech. I have been sent with, he said in another narration, بُعِثْتُ بِفَوَاتِحِ الْكَلِمِ وَجَوَامِعِهِ وَخَوَاتِمِهِ, that I have been sent with the best way to open up speech, and the best way to gather the speech, and the best way to close the speech, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that hadith is hasan, as was graded by a Shaykh Nasir in Al-Jami' al-Saghir. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opened up this advice, advising with rifq, with the woman, and then saying why that is. As the ulama, they say, because she is caught, because أَنَّهُنَّ قَاسِرَات, because they have shortcomings, because they are deficient, مُقَصِّرَات, and they have shortcomings. They are deficient, and they have shortcomings. And so the man, he should be upon the highest level of goodness. He should be kamil as regards his akhlaq, and he should be a person who is trying to impart that to those that he is around. And the most deserving of those that he is around are those that are closest to him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised with this kindness to the woman, and he stated the reason, and he closed with that advice. And has come a narration where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said as regards that kindness, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّفْقَ, that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants good for the people of a household, and He will cause a rifq, He will cause kindness and gentleness to enter into their household. And when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants goodness, and when He wants goodness for their household, then He will cause kindness to enter their household. And that kindness, it will take over the people in their household. The way that the person will speak to his wife will be kind. And it will have an effect. As they say, as-sahibu sahibu. That the companion, the sahib, is the sahib. He's the one, he pulls you in. And so if a person, if they are confrontational, then those that they are confrontational towards may soon become confrontational. If a person is argumentative, he had a wife, she had some haya when he married her, she was shy. She didn't have that in her nature. But because of the way that he dealt with her over the years, she became combative with him. She became argumentative with him. She became from those who wants to win the screaming match. Who can scream louder and longer and harder? And we all know the answer. Barakallahu feekum. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised with kindness. And kindness is something that applies to everything. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إن الرفق لا يكون في شيء إلا زانه ولا ينزع من شيء إلا شانه. That rifq, that kindness and gentleness, is never in a thing except that it beautifies it, and is never taken from a thing except that it uglifies it. As some of the Arab, they used to say, لأن تكون كلمتك لينة ووجهك منبسط منبسط تكون أحب إلى الناس ممن يعطيهم عطاء. That your statement be kind, that the way that you speak be kind, and that your face be friendly, will make you more love to the people than the one who gives them from his wealth. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised with goodness as regards the woman. And so in general, how one is to behave with others, and in this case, particularly with his wife, that there are general guidelines that are laid out by Islam as regards how one behaves towards them, meaning as regards what he is doing towards them, and how one behaves with them as regards how they are dealing with him. So there are two things. What comes from you, how do you treat her as regards what is coming from you, as from statements and actions and behavior, and how you are to behave with her as regards how she is treating you. These are two things. Treatment, mu'amalat, dealings with people. It's a two-sided thing. How you deal with them as regards what you are what is emanating from you going towards them and how you deal with them as regards reacting what is coming from them towards you. And so the ulama, they have two statements, and one applies to each of these two things. One of them, each of these statements applies to each of these things. That there is one statement for the first thing and one statement for another thing. And they say that all of akhlaq can be found in this statement. And some of the ulama, they say that all of akhlaq is found in the other statement. And the way to bring that together is what we mentioned. That the akhlaq that is coming from you to the person is the first statement. And the akhlaq that is how you respond to the way that they are dealing with you is another statement. And so, as regards how one responds, first and foremost, to the way that he is being treated, or to the actions that are being done by a person, that he is addressing those actions with his actions. The ulama, they say that أَجْمَعُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي ذَلِكَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That the most concisive and inclusive and comprehensive thing that has come about that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said, خُذِ الْعَفُ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said, take the pardoning and order with what is good and turn away from the jahileen. And turn away from the jahileen. As for the statement, and take the pardoning, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di says, أَمَا مَنْ كَانَ إِذَا جَاءَهُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ وَمُعَامِلِهِ وَنَحْوِهِمْ سَيِّئَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ أَهْدَرَ بِيهَا مَا سَبَقَهَا مِنَ الْمَحَاسِنِ فَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْحُمْقِ وَقِلَّةِ الْوَفَاءِ وَعَدْمِ الْإِنصَافِ. The Shaykh, he said that as for when one thing that is disliked, the one act that is ill treatment, an act of ill treatment comes from a person's companion, or comes from one that a person is interacting with, or anyone that is like them, whether that be his wife, whether that be his child, whether that be his friend, whether that be his parent. He said that when that occurs, that when ill treatment comes from a person, and a person in reaction to that, that he totally wipes out and totally disacknowledges everything of good that has come in the past from that person. Like the statement of the woman, that she sees one thing from her husband that she doesn't like. She says, by Allah, I've never seen any good in you. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about them. One of the ulama of Yemen, the Shaykh Muhammad al-Wasabi, hafidhuhullahu wa ra'ah, he said, as was likewise said by the Shaykh Muhammad al-Imam in a lecture that he gave, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that statement about the woman because it occurs more from the woman than the men. He said, but this doesn't mean that it doesn't happen from the men. That they see one thing that they dislike from the spouse, and they say that we haven't seen any good from you. They disacknowledge everything. They disacknowledge that dinner they just ate, and them dishes that she washed, with some children that she dressed while he was wearing the clothes that she washed. He disacknowledged everything because of one statement or one thing that she did that he disliked. Because her tongue was sharp, or because he didn't like the way that she responded to something that he said, a suggestion that he had, or she didn't rush to do what he wanted in a good way, or his food wasn't prepared quickly enough, The Salaf, they used to say, بِئْسَ مَا يَكُونُ لِلْمَرْءِ أَنْ يَكُونَ ضَيْفًا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ الدَّهْرِ. That the worst thing that a man can have, that he can be described with, is that he is a ضيف, is that he is a guest to his family all of the time. He expects for his family to be like a servant, serving him hand and foot. His clothes, they have to be pressed, they have to be washed. He has to have 3 meals a day, as though his wife has nothing to do, as though she's not tired and the children haven't run her crazy. He's a guest in his home. They've been married 20 years. He's a king. But she wishes that she could be a queen. He's a king. He gets the service. But the service isn't reciprocated in the same way. As Aisha radiallahu anha, as she was asked about the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he do during his day? She said radiallahu anha, that he used to be in the service of his family. He used to be in the service of his family. As the writer of the book Minhaj al-Qasideen, the Muqtasar of Minhaj al-Qasideen, Ahmed ibn Qudam, as he mentioned, that from the masalih, that from the good aspects of a zawaj of marriage, is that it's difficult for one person to do the chores of the house, from the cleaning of the house and the cleaning of the dishes and the cleaning of the clothing. And so, when there is another adult that comes into the equation, who can help with those responsibilities that are lightens for one's spouse, those difficulties. And so, the person that he disacknowledges, or has come from his family, the shaykh, he said, فَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْحُمْقِ وَقِلَّةِ الْوَفَاءِ وعدم الإنصاف. That this is from, that the person that he sees one thing that he dislikes, and that causes him to disavow and disacknowledge everything that came of kindness before that. He said this is from the most tremendous of stupidity. And this is from a lack of wafa, of loyalty. And from a lack, and this is from him having very little loyalty, and from having a lack of objectivity. He said, وَمَنْ كَانَ بِهَذَا الْوَصْفِ فَهُوَ أَبْعَدُ النَّاسِ مِنْ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. And whoever is like that, then they are the farthest of the people from good character. وَالْمَقْصُودُ عَنَ الْمُعَامَلَةِ بَيْنَ الْمُقْتَلِتَيْنِ وَالْمُرْتَبِتَيْنِ بِحَقٍ مِنَ الْحُقُوقِ إِذَا بُنِيَتْ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ خُذَ الْعَفْوَ فوتن العبد نفسه على أخذ المنافي وصفي عن ضده أوصلت صاحبه إلى كل خير وسلم بها من شرور كثيرة. He said, and the point here, he said, may Allah have mercy upon him, is that dealings between two people who mix and mingle with one another, and two people of irtibat, who have a connection with one another, as regards any right that is due from one of them to another, that when it is built upon the statement of Allah, then take to pardoning. And this is verse 199 of Surah Al-A'raf. That when it is built upon that, and the slave of Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, he disciplines and he trains and cultivates himself upon taking fast to those benefits, what benefit he receives from that person, and to pardoning what is opposite to that, then when the person behaves like that, that such behavior will cause the person who has incorporated it and the person who is adorned with it and the person who has it, that it will cause that person to reach every good, and it will cause the person to be saved from many, many shurur, from many harmful things. From many shurur, the ulama, they say, ash-sharru fil lugha al-alam. Shurur, ash-shar in the Arabic language is pain. They will be saved from many evils, from many painful things, from the pain of having weekly visitations with his children, or his wife having weekly visitations with his children, from the pain of the khula, or the pain of the talaq, or the pain of the one that was a person close to his heart, being far away from him, being with another man, maybe a brother he didn't even like. He doesn't like that brother doesn't like him. And he's saved from many pains, many harms, on account of having husnul khuluq. He said, وَإِذَا بُيِّنَتْ عَلَى الْإِسْتِسْقَاءِ وَطَلَبِ جَمِيعِ الْحَقِّ مُسْتَوْفِي حَصَلَ النَّقْصُ وَالْخَلَلِ. And when his dealings with others are built upon al-istisqa, upon his wanting everything now, his going to the utmost limit, and seeking all of his rights in full, then deficiency will occur and there will be a void. Deficiency will occur and there will be a void. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَفِّفِينَ. Woe be to the mutaffifin. As the Shaykh Uthaymeen, he said that the mutaffif, that he is not just a person that when he is doing business, that he is, as the verse described, that they are those yastawfoon, that they are those that they want everything in full. That they want everything in full. And when they weigh and they measure for others, they fall short. That just doesn't apply to trade, but it applies to the person with his child. He expects something, but he's not giving. He expects something from his wife, and he's not giving that in return. He expects his right in full, he's not giving the rights in full. We find that some of the hardest brothers, billahi alaykum, some of the hardest brothers with their wives, are those brothers whose wives are on Section 8 and welfare and food stamps and Medicaid, and he's not doing anything for his wife. And he tells her where she can go and where she can't go, what she could do, what she can't do, who she could talk to, who she can't talk to. It's difficult upon the woman. Harsh with the woman. Mean to the woman. He's not doing anything for her. He's living in her house. Eating the house that her food stamps bought. And he behaves like that. مِنَعْجَبَ Ajaib, the most astonishing of things. And this is the reality that is witnessed with brothers all across the board in many places. Wallahu musta'an. And we say to those brothers, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَكُن مُتَفِّف وَلَا تَكُن مُتَفِّفَ. And don't be a person who is mutaffif. Have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You expect that she obeys you as though she is your right-hand possession. But you are doing nothing for her. You have every excuse why you can't get a job. You have every excuse why you can't live up to your responsibilities. It's the kuffar's fault. It's the white people's fault. It's these people's fault. It's those people's fault. I have a record. You did the crime. I have a hard time with those people telling me what to do. I have a hard time getting to the job. I don't have a car. I don't have this. I don't have that. He's not doing anything. He has a'adhar kathira, many, many, many excuses. He has excuses from here to China. But he says, لِمَ فَعَلْتِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Why did you say such and such? Why did you do such and such? Why didn't you do such and such? That no excuse is good enough. And so, this is from the most important of matters as regards how one deals with one's wife, as the author, or the compiler rather, of Minhaj al-Qasidin, a book that has some good statements in it, despite the fact that the asl of the book, it came from one of the books of Ghazali, in the section that he wrote about akhlaq. And one of the scholars of the people of Sunnah, they took those statements and they purged them from that which had no benefit, so that the benefit that can be found remained. He said a beautiful statement in his book. He said, "Husnul khuluq ma'a zawja," that the having good character with your wife is that you prevent her, or that you prevent al-adha from her, that you prevent any abuse, whether it's physical abuse, mental abuse, any type of abuse, verbal abuse, that you prevent al-adha from her, and that you are patient with her adha. That you prevent any abuse from her, but you are patient from her abuses. He said, this is the meaning of having good character with your wife. You spare her from harm, and you are patient with her harm, because even if she's the best of women, she has some deficiencies, and we all have deficiencies. And she has shortcomings, and we all have shortcomings. As for the second thing, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, and order with the good. And as regards what you see from the actions of the people, that you want them to be upon a level that is better, just as you want yourself to be upon a level that is better and a level that is higher. As some of the ulama, they said, التشجيع مسؤولية الجميع, that encouragement is the responsibility of every single person. And so he encourages his wife. He encourages his wife. And likewise, she should encourage her husband. He encourages his wife, not just with his statements, saying it would be better if you, you know, put on better clothes. His clothes are wrinkled, and they have sweat stains in them. But he encourages her as regards what is most important, which is her religion. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman Asadi said as regards this statement, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, and order with that which is good. He said, أَيْ لِيَكُنْ أَمْرُكَ لِغَيْرِكَ مَوْصُوفًا بِوَصْفَيْنِ. He said, meaning that you're letting your ordering other people have two quality traits that it is described with. أَحَدُهُمَا, the first of those quality traits, أَنْ يَكُونَ بِرِفْقٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ وَأَقْرَبِ طَرِيقٍ يُوصِلُ إِلَى هَذَا الْمَقْصُودِ وَذَلِكَ يَخْتَلِفُ بِاخْتِلَافِ الْعُرْفِ. He mentions three general things here. Firstly, that his ordering her has firstly a rifq, that it has kindness. That he orders her with, that he orders her, and that his, what he says to her is done with kindness. He doesn't scream at her, screaming ayat from the Quran, hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like he's giving the khutbah, the people that at the other building in the apartment complex can hear him. But he says it in a kind way, with soft speech, and he does it with wisdom, tadarruj. Yabda bil aham fal aham, begins with what is most important and what is next important. He knows that just as he can't change everything in one day about himself, that she can't change everything about herself in one day. Just as he needs a lot of work, she needs a lot of work. He uses wisdom. As the ulama, they said, the wisdom is فِعْلُ مَا يَنْبَغِي كَمَا يَنْبَغِي فِي الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي. It's to do what should be done in a way that should be done at the time that it should be done. The ulama, they said, this requires from the person that they have, firstly, they have knowledge about what must be done. They know the good from the evil. And secondly, in the way that it should be done, as the Shaykh mentioned, with rifq. Rifq is from wisdom. They do it with kindness, when kindness is what is best. And they use shidda. If shidda is best, harshness, if harshness is best. Some of the salaf, many of the salaf, there are beautiful statements from the salaf. And they were compiled by the Shaykh Salim al-Ajami, hafidhuhu Allah ta'ala. in the book that he wrote about al-mu'ataba, about checking your brother, dealing with your brother with itab. You have to check people sometimes. You have to chastise a person at some times. As he said, the Salaf used to say, al-mu'ataba, the mu'ataba is the ruh of al-ukhuwa. That mu'ataba, that this type of thing, if it is done in the proper way, according to the guidance of the Salaf, according to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it's done in the proper way, that it is the soul of brotherhood. That it is a necessary thing to have. Saraha. That a person can speak directly, saying what he needs to say, getting his point across. Not being completely prevented by the feelings of the other person from saying what needs to be said. This is something that is absolutely necessary. So he does what should be done in a way that should be done. And the asl is rifq. The basic foundation is that a person is gentle. And if shidda is necessary, then shidda is employed. At the time that it should be done, as we said with tadarruj, taking things step by step. Step by step. She just became a Muslim. She just started to cover her head. He wanted to wear the niqab and a screen and gloves. And everything in one day. It can't be blue, it can't be brown, it has to be black. All in one day. Step by step. Little by little. Teach her aqidah first. She was raised upon the television like you was raised upon the television. And you expect her to leave all of that. You're taking everything away and you're not replacing it with anything. You didn't put anything in its place. As Ibn Qayyim, he said that as regards the nafs and every limb of a person's body, that if he doesn't busy it with the good, شَغَلَتْهُ نَفْسُهُ بِالشَّرِّ, his soul will busy him with the evil. And so, you can't just take the bad away and nothing be in its place. It's impossible. It's impossible. They're doing it for you. They're not doing it for Allah. Ibn Qayyim, he said in his book Al-Fawa'id, that when you see the people upon sins and disobedience, and you see them following behind the dunya, then struggle to the best of your effort and strive to the best of your ability to make Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be loved to them. Make sure they know about their Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala, about the blessings of their Lord, about the beauty of their Lord, the names and the attributes of their Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala. They don't know anything about their Lord. Why they should obey Him. What is His reward and what is His punishment? What is His Jannah and what is His Nar? Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, when a man, he came to her, and he said, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, O Mother of the Believers, what is the best type of burial shroud? And she said, وَمَا يَضُرُّكُ, and how could that ever harm you? Meaning, how could that benefit, how could that harm you? What type of fabric the burial shroud is made of? He came, he was Iraqi, he came all the way from Iraq to ask a question. So the Umm al-Mu'mineen, she said, وَمَا يَضُرُّكُ, what does that have to do with you? How could that harm you? How could that benefit you? And then he said, يَا أُمَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَرِينِي مُصْحَفَكَ, show me your mushaf, because the mushaf now is غَيْرُ مُرَتَّبُ, it's not put together. It was before the time of Uthman when the mushaf was put together. He said, let me see your mushaf, because the Quran is recited without any particular order of the surah. So let me see your mushaf. She said, وَمَا يَضُرُّكُ, how could that benefit you? How could that harm you? She said. The first thing that was revealed from the Quran were some verses about the Jannah and the Nar. While I was a jariya, al-ab, while I was a young girl playing with my toys, playing with the other little girls, while I was still a little girl in Mecca,
some verses she said about the paradise and the hellfire. That was the first that came down. The people, connecting the people to who is their Lord. What is His reward? What is His punishment? She said, and if the first thing that had came down was, La tushribul khamar, don't drink the khamar. The people, they would have said, Lan nada al khamar, that we would never stop drinking the khamar. If that was the first thing that had come down in Mecca, the people, they would have said, we would never stop drinking khamar. If the first thing that came down was, don't make zina, the people, they said, we would have never left zina. She said, but these verses, they wasn't revealed until I was with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Medina. And so she was his wife, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he takes his time. He connects her to her Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala. He makes sure that she knows about her religion, and that he knows about his religion. So the first of those two things as regards his commanding with the good is that it must be done with kindness and rifq. And it must be done in a way that is the closest way to bring her to her goal. He makes things easy upon her. He said, and this differs according to the differing of the people and the different situations of the people. وَثَانِي لِيَكُونَ مَأْمُورُكَ الَّذِي تَأْمُرُ بِهِ مِنَ الْأُمُورَ الْمَحْبُوبَةِ شَرْعًا وَعُرْفًا وَهُوَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ وَالْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ مِنَ الْعَقَائِدِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الْمُتَعَلِّقَةِ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ وَحُقُوقِ خَلْقِهِ. And secondly, is that what he orders with, that what he is ordering with is something that is beloved in the religion and something that is loved in the custom of the person. And that it is, and that he orders with the good, and he orders with what is wajib, and he orders with that is with, which is mustahab, that which is recommended from beliefs and akhlaq and actions that are connected to the right of Allah and the rights of His creation. And as regards the statement, وَأَعْرُضْ عَنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn away from the jahileen, this third part of how one deals with the actions of another and how they affect him and others, Alhamdulillah. And as a fa'ida that we remind ourselves with here in Masjid al-Sahaba, is that the hukum, is that the ruling of tashmeet, of saying Yahamukullah to the person who says Alhamdulillah when they sneeze, is not like the ruling of the salam, that it is enough for the person that if he says Salamu Alaikum, if somebody returns the salam, then that is enough. But if somebody sneezes, that it is not similar to that, but it is upon all who hear the person who sneezes to say Yahamukullah. And from the tatbiq that is amali, from the practical applications and the actions of the Salaf, was what occurred, as is well known in the story of Al-Imam Al-Barbahari. When somebody in his majlis, they sneezed, and the sound of the people saying, Yarhamukallah, frightened the ruler to the point that Barbahari, he was intimidated and going into seclusion until he died. This was the understanding of the Salaf, Barakallahu Fikum. And that's a small fa'ida, but it's azim. But it's tremendous. As for the statement, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, turn away from the jahileen, he said, أي إِذَا جَهِلَ أَحَدٌ عَلَيْكَ بِقَوْلٍ وَفِعْلٍ فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْ مُقَابَلَتِهِ بِجَهْلِهِ وَقَابِلْهُ بِمَا تُقَابِلُهُ بِهِ إِذَا كَانَ مُحْسِنًا. He said that when a person behaves ignorantly with you, that what this means, and turn away from the jahileen, is that you do not repay ignorance with ignorance. Allahu Akbar. Is that you do not repay ignorance with ignorance. You don't approach ignorance with ignorance. Some of the Salaf, they said that you deal with a person who is angry like you deal with the person who is majnoon. How will it help? How will it help if your wife is angry with you and she yells at you that you yell back? Is it to help her?
Is it to help you? Who will it help? Whose cause will it help? The answer is the shaitan. The person, you're angry. You should sit down. That's not enough, you should lay down. You should make wudu. The shayateen they're created from fire. Make wudu. Make turaka. Make isti'adha from the shaitan. Be careful of what you say. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, وَقُولِ عِبَادِي يَقُولُ اللَّتِ هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا. And say to my servants, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are to say that which is absolutely best. Speak with words that are best in a way that is best. That they are to say that which is best. Verily the shaitan yanzaghu baynahum. He incites evil between them. Verily the shaitan is ever an open enemy, a clear enemy to mankind. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَرْعَيَ سَعِي عَبُودَهُ الْمُسَلُّونَ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. The shaitan has lost hope that the musalloon will worship him in the Arabian Peninsula. وَلَكِنْ بِتَحْرِيشِ بَيْنَهُمْ. But rather he wishes tahrish between them. He wishes tahrish will occur between the people. Al-Imam al-Baghawi, he said in his book, Rahimullah, he said in his book, Sharh al-Sunnah, he said, أي بإلقاء الخصوماء بإلقاء الخصومة والخشونة بينهم. He said that the word tahrish, that it means that the shaitan wishes to cast khusumat between the people. Argumentation and dispute between the people, and khushuna and harshness and roughness with the people. So the people they're arguing, the people they're using harshness with one another. This is something difficult for the woman when the man is harsh with her. That's from her nature, that she's soft. As one of the people in the past, a woman was arguing with her husband, and the woman, she started to leave from her home. She started to leave from her home to defend her husband. And he said, sit down. You wasn't created for that. You weren't created to fight. You wasn't made for that. That's not how you're built. It's not for you. She's built with a softer nature. With a softer body. It's not about that. And so, she speaks with harshness to him. He can deal with that. All day people, they've been mean to him. Everywhere he goes, his co-workers, he's been, speaking straight up with them. Telling them what needs to be done, what has to be done, what must occur. And like that, he got pulled over. He had a back and forth with the cop. He let him know what time it was. And the cop, he wrote what time it was, how much that time costed. He's been going back and forth. He can deal with that. He can deal with that if somebody came and popped him upside his head and busted him in his head. He could stand back up and fight. He can deal with that. He's built as a believer. He could deal with that. Inshallah, he could deal with that. So she gives it to him. And he might deserve it. He gives her back and it crushes her. He can forgive her because it didn't hurt him as bad as it hurt her. But it may be a long time, a very long time, till she forgives him. And so when a person is behaved with, when he is behaved towards with jahil, with ignorant behavior, whether that's from those that are far from him or those that are near to him, whether that is from the kufar, that is from the Muslim, whether that is from the person who is his friend or the person that is his wife, that he does not address ignorance with ignorance. He does not address ignorance with ignorance. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يفرق مؤمنون مؤمنا إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر.
And this was reported from Abu Hurairah and the authority, and this was reported by Imam Muslim and the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, لا يفرق. Let no Muslim man dislike or hate a Muslim woman, meaning his wife, or any Muslim woman for that matter, but particularly his wife. If he dislikes one of her character traits, then he will be pleased with another one of her character traits. If he dislikes one of her character traits, then he would dislike another one of her character traits. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he wrote a book called Al-Hayat al-Sa'id, Al-Wasail al-Mufida lil-Hayat al-Sa'ida, the beneficial ways or the beneficial means to live a happy life. He wrote this book while he was in the hospital in Lebanon, suffering severe headaches that was caused by a disease that he had from the clotting of blood. He's going through a lot of pain to the point that the doctor told him not to write anything, not to read anything, not to teach anything, and just to rest and have some tranquility and some peace. And while he's in this situation suffering from immense pain, he wrote a book about how to live a happy life, how you could be happy. He's thinking about happiness. Allahu Akbar. He's thinking about happiness, and from the means of how to live a happy life, he brought this hadith, and he said it applies to how a Muslim deals with every other person. He looks for the good in that person, and he doesn't look for the bad in that person. Aina nahnu, where are we? I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who saw good in those who were the worst of his enemies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something that was promising, something that could help the ummah, something that could help the Muslims, and the most harsh of his enemies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the point that he said, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ, that you will find the harshest of the people against عَلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, against this amr, against this religion, that they will be the best of the people as regards it once they enter into it. That the harshest of the people against Islam will be the best of the people for Islam once they enter into Islam. When he said, O Allah, guide Islam by one of the Umarain, who were they? The Umarain. Abu Jahl and Umar ibn al-Khattab. Guide Islam to one of those two. And this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Rabbahu alayh, when he raised him upon Jalla fi ula, when he said, tabaraka wa ta'ala, idfa' billati hiya ahsan, fa'idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawwatun ka'annahu waliyun hamim. Defend yourself, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a way that is best. And if you do so, then the one that there is enmity between you and between him, he will become as though he is your avid supporter. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And that will not be gotten except by those who are patient. And that will not be gotten except by those who have a tremendous portion, meaning of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Defend yourself in a way that is best. He found the good in those people and brought the good from those people. As the Shaykh, he mentioned, as we mentioned in the beginning of the class, that the believer, he makes himself beloved to his enemies. That the one who has good character, with his character, he makes himself beloved to the worst of his enemies. While the person who has bad character, he makes himself hated to his children, and to his wife, and to the closest of people to him. And so, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi says that the people are on three levels as regards this issue. He said, A'alahum, that the highest of people as regards their martaba, as regards their level, and finding the good and overlooking the bad as regards other people. And in this case, particularly the wife, but any other person, particularly his Muslim brother or her Muslim sister, oblivious to those faults. وأقلهم and the lowest of level. وأقلهم توفيقا وإيمانا وأخلاقا من عكس القضية. And the lowest of them as regards tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as regards the iman, and as regards this beautiful akhlaq, are those who are the opposite of that. فَأَهْدَرَ الْمَحَاسِنَ مَهْمَا كَانَتْ وَجَعَلَ الْمَثَاوِي نَصْبَ عَيْنَيْهِ. And so he totally obliterates all of the good that a person has done, and disavows and disacknowledges all the good that a person has with them entirely. And he said, and he makes the person's heart nasba aynayhi, the focus of his eyes. He makes those thoughts the focus of his eyes. Qala Abu Hatim ibn Hibban al-Busti, a'lamu nasi bil-afat أكثرهم آفاتا. He said the people أعلم الناس وأعرف الناس بالآفات, that the people who can recognize the faults of people the best, أكثرهم آفاتا, they are those who have the most faults themselves. So the person, he has all sorts of problems. He knows best about himself, or he knows better about himself than all of the people. Wallahu a'lamu bih. And Allah knows better about him than he knows about himself. And so he deals with the people in this way. He knows best about that, because he has the most faults. He has the most shortcomings. He can recognize the shortcomings. The thief always thinks someone is trying to steal from them. The dishonest person thinks someone is always trying to cheat them. The person with the problems, they can see the problems. They know about the problems. The person that he was in the Jahiliyyah, he can see what the rest of the people don't see. He's in the marketplace, he sees the drug transactions in the parking lot. He can see the prostitutes and where they're at. He can see, he recognizes those things because he lived that life at one time. He knows best about those things. He knows about the problems. So this is a tremendous principle. That if this is what you see from the people, you see the problems, it's because you yourself probably know best about those problems. And quickly, as regards what is most important, which is, how is his behavior to be with her? Those three things that were mentioned before, that is about how does he deal with what she is doing, and how does he deal with what other people are doing. If they have shortcomings, he pardons them firstly. If they have shortcomings, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, secondly, he orders them with what is best and what is good, in the best way. If they behave with him ignorantly, then he doesn't repay that ignorance with ignorance and behave with them ignorantly. And what is more important than that is how he deals with them. And what he will be asked about before everything is how he dealt with them. How is he with them? He's not going to be asked about their actions and how they were and what they did, except from the aspect of how he dealt with that. But what's most important is how he is with them and what he is exerting towards them. The ulama, they said, قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنْ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ مُنْحَصَّرٌ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ, that it is that good character, that it is contained within three things. And what do they say? They say, كَفُ الْأَذَى, كَفُ الْأَذَى وَبَضْلُ النَّدَى, وَبَضْلُ النَّدَى وَتَلَاقُتُ الْوَجْ. They say those three things, and we'll read something brief, or mention something brief about those three things. the first thing is that he withholds from harming. He withholds any type of harm. Anything negative from himself, he withholds that. And then he exerts generosity towards the people. And kindness towards the people. He withholds harm. He exerts kindness. وَطَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ And he has a bright face and a beautiful disposition. He smiles at the people. He's kind with the people. It's the third thing. So the Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned this in his book, Makarim al-Akhlaq. And I would advise anyone who is learning Arabic, who can understand Arabic, we have it here on the table. And to get a copy of this book, and you'll benefit tremendously from it. He said that the meaning of withholding from harm is that a person withholds himself from harming others, whether that be with money, or whether that be attached to the person, whether that be by harming the person's money, or by harming the person bodily or in person, or by harming his urd, by harming his reputation, harming his character. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, كل المسلم على المسلم حرام. That all of the Muslim is haram upon the other Muslim. دمه وماله وعرضه. His blood is haram. His money is haram. His reputation and honor is haram. And he withholds from harming the people. He withholds from harming the people. He said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُفَ عَذَاهُ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ فَلَيْسَ بِحُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ He said that the person that doesn't withhold his harm from the people, then he is not a person who has good character. بَلْ هُوَ سَيِّعُ الْخُلُقِ But rather he is a person who has evil character. And so he doesn't harm his wife in such a way. He doesn't harm his wife also with his statements, with his actions, his behavior. He doesn't abuse her psychologically or emotionally. He doesn't abuse her with his statements. He doesn't strike her in a way that will cause her pain and will be shadid upon her. But he withholds her from abuse. As we mentioned the statement of Ibn Qudama, as he mentioned in Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, that good character with your wife is that you prevent her from your harms and you are patient with her harm. That you prevent her from your harm and you are patient from her harm. And this doesn't, of course, give the sisters a license to harm their husbands. To say that I can't help myself, I can't control myself. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will ask you about what you say. And you are responsible for your actions. And what you say is being ridden. And you should have shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should remember your Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala at all times. And the brothers should remember their Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala at all times. And know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows what is in your souls. فَحْذَرُوهُ So be cautious and afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Shaykh Muhammad al-Man al-Jami, he said that the Salaf, they said that the most far-reaching and far-implicating maw'iza, admonition that came down from the heavens to the earth was this verse, and know that Allah knows. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَحْذَرُوهُ And know that Allah knows what is in your soul, so be cautious and afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have muraqabah of your Lord, sister. Have muraqabah of your Lord, brother, as regards what you say, as regards what you do. Perhaps you could say a thing or do a thing that will ruin you. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, سَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ May your mother bereave you, a Mu'adh. وَهَلْ يَكُبُ النَّاسَ And will the people fall upon their faces? عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ عَلَى مَنَخِيرِهِمْ Will they fall upon their faces? Will they fall upon their faces or fall upon their nostrils in the fire? إِلَّا مِنْ حَصَائِدِ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ except because of the fruits that were reaped from their tongues. What came as a result of what came from their tongue. Secondly, he said that the meaning of exerting kindness and generosity, he said, أَنَّدَ هُوَ الْكَرْمُ وَالْجُودِ that another here, that it is generosity and it is benevolence to others. Meaning that a person that he is to show kindness and he is to show benevolence to others. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, for example, Tahadu tahabu. That if you give gifts to one another, then you will, or he said, give gifts to one another and you will love one another. It's a thought that counts. That you were thinking about her while you were out and about. And you brought home a gift. Whether or not she'll use it or won't use it, don't think about that. Give gifts to one another and you'll love one another. It's the thought that counts. Give gifts. Show generosity. Show kindness. The brother, he needed $10, $20, $30, $40, $50. You gave it to him. Your bills are overdue. She said, when will that brother give you that money back? She said, baby, I gave that brother that money. I wasn't alone, I gave it to him. But you don't give anything to her. You're kind with the people. What you looking for? I'm looking for this imama. I'm looking for this kufi. I'm looking for this stove to give to the brother Fulan. Or to give to the brother Fulan, he's a new Muslim. I want to give him this book. He's thinking all the time about the other people. And that's something that's khair. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward you for it. For loving the Muslims and wanting the good for the Muslims. And wanting to bring about love between you and between your Muslim brother. But this is something that you should apply first and foremost. And your wife has more of a right to it. That you think about her when you're out and about. Let alone that you think about her when you're in her presence. She's talking to you. She wants to have a conversation with you. You say, Naam. Naam. You say, La. La. Allah Musan. You did it such and such, or you don't think such and such. And you're on robot mode with your wife. You're with her, you're thinking about something else. You're not even thinking about her when you're with her. Let alone when you're outside of her presence. You're not concentrating or even thinking about what she's saying as though what she says isn't important. And so the person, he exerts generosity and kindness to his wife. His statements are kind. His words are kind. His expression is kind. He gives her things. He loves his wife. He buys her jewelry. He buys her perfume to wear in the house. He buys her things so that she can look good, that she can look good and feel good about herself. He gives her compliments. He says, MashaAllah, after all this time, we've been married all these years, and you're just as beautiful to me as you were back then when I first married you. My heart is softened when I look at you. SubhanAllah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ and from the signs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, أَنْ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا is that he has made from your own selves spouses, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمًا and he has made there to be love and mercy between you. Allah, after all this time, is from Allah's favors, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ as for the blessings of your Lord, and speak about that. Look at the blessing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That after all this time, the shaitan hasn't ruined what we have. He hasn't come between us. Hasn't come with the waswasa. And you're still as beautiful to me. After all this time. And the way that you treat me, I'm very grateful for it. And all that you do for me, I'm very grateful for it. There may be more to her than all the money that you could spend on her. That you compliment her, that you give her good praises, as long as that is in the hudud of the shara, the boundaries of the legislation, that you speak about, that you thank her for what she has done for you. So this is the second thing, and the third thing is talaqatul wajh, is that a person of their countenance and their expression is happy. She calls you up on the phone, you're laughing, you can't even answer the phone because you're talking to this brother. She hangs up the phone before you can even say, Naam, salam alaikum. Before that, you're laughing with the brother, talking with your brother, you're at the masjid, having a good time, mashallah. You're there to 12:30 at night, mashallah. You come home, your food is cold, your wife is sleeping. Your kids haven't seen you. Don't you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would turn after leading the salah and say, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dal jalali wal ikram thumma yansarif. He would say that statement, he would sit long enough to say that, and then he would leave from the masjid. Who reported that? The Ummuhat al-Mu'mineen. Why? Because he was in the home, helping his wives, assisting his wives. So you're on the phone, laughing. She calls you. You was in a good mood. You come home. She's tired. She's been dealing with your bratty kids all day, who needed the father to come home and scare them a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Sometimes the presence of the father is enough for him to come home and say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. For some ta'adib to occur, some discipline to occur. She's been fighting as a one-woman army all day. Especially for the women that have sons. Allahu musta'an. Tearing up the house, breaking the walls, breaking the doors, breaking the dishes. They've been fighting this little miniature version of you. He looks just like you. He looks just like you. He comes home, and a miniature you has been destroying the house all day. And she couldn't say to him what she wants to say to you. You've been gone all day. She knows you was in a good mood. When you was outside of the house, she called you at work, you was in a good mood. She called you at the masjid, you was in a good mood. You come in the house, you open up the letter. You forgot about this bill, you don't have money for that bill. You forgot about this appointment. You forgot about that appointment. You forgot to take time off of work so that you could take your children to the hospital. These things, they kind of weigh down upon you, so you come in the house and you do what? You frown. And you frown. What does that look like? That looks like you're angry with her. She doesn't make you happy. The one who has been doing all that she's been doing all day to make you happy. She washed your clothes, she ironed them, taking care of your children, washing the dishes in the home, cleaning the house. It was clean. If you came home at an early hour, you would have knew that. But the kids tore it up again. She didn't have the energy to clean it back up. And you should have been there to help her clean it up, to run the vacuum, to wash some of them dishes, to help her. You was in a good mood outside of the house. You come home, and that look on your face is interpreted as a million things that it's probably not. But what that means to her is that you are ungrateful. You are ungrateful. After all this, you come home, and we hear that. You probably wasn't like this with such and such when you was talking to such and such, when you were with such and such. When you were with the brothers all day, were you just sitting around frowning in a bad mood? Why do they have to see that? So this is, as we mentioned in the beginning of the talk, that your face has a good expression upon it, and that your speech be soft will make you more loved to the people than the one who gives them from his wealth, and who gives them from what he has. And so these are some beautiful guidelines that have come and are validated and emphasized by what has been reported in the Book of Allah. and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the statements of As-Salaf Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم أخلاقا وخيركم خيركم لأهله. He said that the best of the believers as regards the Iman are the best of them in character, and the best of you is the best of you to his family. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us from those. Allahumma ij'alna mimman yastami'una qawlan fayatabi'una ahsana. إنك سميع قريب مجيب وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. May Allah make us like those who hear the statement and they follow the best of what they heard. If I said anything that is correct, that is from myself and the shaitan. If I said anything that is incorrect, and that is from my nafs. If I said anything that is correct, that is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If I said anything incorrect, that is from my nafs and the shaitan. Wallahu wa rasuluhu minhu bari'an. And Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are innocent of that.
طيب أيها الإخوة، هذه فائدة علمية ذكرها الأخ حسن في درسه وقالوا تحققوا منها. فهذه الفائدة بخصوص الأكل من اللحم المشوي، هل ينقض الوضوء أو يحتاج صاحبه أو وجب على صاحبه الوضوء أو عفوا الوضوء؟ قال عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما: رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل مما مسته النار ثم يصلي ولا يتوضأ. حديث حسن وبشواهده. قال الألباني: صحيح. فسئل عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه: أنت رأيته؟ فأشار بيده إلى عينيه فقال: بصر عيني. وقال عبد الله بن الحارث ابن جزء رضي الله تعالى عنه: كنا نأكل على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد الخبز واللحم ثم نصلي ولا نتوضأ. وسنده صحيح عن ابن حبان رحمه الله تعالى. وهذا كله في سلسلة الأحاديث الصحيحة للشيخ الألباني، المجلد الخامس الصفحة 52 بعد 100. وقال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله: ومما يستحب الوضوء لأجله الوضوء لكل صلاة، الوضوء مما مسته النار، الوضوء لذكر الله تعالى، وقراءة القرآن من باب أولى عن المهلب.
So the issue that was discussed yesterday was about the issue of making wudu, as narrations have come, making wudu from that which has been touched with fire. From that which has been touched by fire, meaning food that has been cooked and was touched with the fire. It was reported from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he said that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he ate that which was touched by fire and then he prayed without making wudu. And this is Hasan, and with his shawahid, with his supporting chains, it is sahih. And it was reported from Ibn Abbas that they said, did you see the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that? And he said, yes, I saw him do that. And he pointed to his eyes. He said, my eyes saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that.